Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, the show is brought to you by Markham Search. Markham Search is an executive search company based in New York City with search functions throughout California, New York, Florida, and other areas. So thank you so much to our sponsor today, Markham Search. And today we have with us on the show, Gavin B. Kiley. Gavin is a friend of mine and is also just an extraordinary human being who is the founder and CEO of GBK Productions, a luxury lifestyle gifting and special events company specializing in entertainment marketing integration and founded in 2000. GBK consists of five distinct divisions: GBK Luxury Gift Lounges, GBK Events, GBK Weddings, GBK Charitable Consulting, and GBK Public Relations and Marketing Services. Though separate, each entity is interconnected, allowing clients and brands a full range of marketing services and benefits. GBK is a company dedicated to giving each client customized marketing options with higher quality and tailor-made services. With a proven track record for attracting celebrity clientele such as Eva Longoria, Jennifer Aniston, Helen Mirren, Forest Whitaker, Leonardo DiCaprio, Fergie, Rihanna, and on, they have taken part in such high-profile events at gifting lounges as that of the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, backstage at the CNN Hero Awards, the BET 10th Annual GLAAD Awards, Sundance, Cannes, and many more. And it sounds like coming up here, Gavin's going to be hosting a gifting suite as well at Coachella. So in addition to being just an amazing person who's been seen on CNN, CBS, NBC, The Morning Show, and been on the front page of the New York Times, charity is also very important to Gavin. His first charitable consulting client was 10 years ago, and that was Sharon Osbourne, where he helped create her inaugural charity event at her estate, utilizing his combined marketing, sales, and nonprofit experience. Gavin has since helped over 40 nonprofits raise their fundraising goals by integrating celebrities into their event and thinking outside of the box to generate higher paying sponsorships. Gavin was one of the first companies to actually come up with the Gift Suite concept today. Today, GBK produces gift suites for all the big award shows, and Gavin has been just a tremendous friend to me and personally helped me raise about a third of the money that we needed to build our first school last year in Nepal. So, Gavin, it's an honor to have you as a friend, and it's awesome to have you on the show today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell us, like, what an incredible story. So you're a very charitable and philanthropic-oriented individual. And how did you wind up being kind of the trendsetter and the one who started the Celebrity Gifting Suite experience?
Well, initially, I frankly had no idea I was going to be getting into gifting celebrities. About 20 years ago, I was a financial advisor, and then I went into producing charity events because I asked myself the million-dollar question, what do I want to do with my life? And really the answer was I wanted to make a difference in the world, help others, and not be a martyr in the process. So originally just basically started producing charity events and worked with a variety of causes. And at these events, we would invite different talent, different celebrities to enhance the event, whether it be musicians or actors on TV. And then we would get them a gift as a thank you for coming to the event. And sure enough, Ozzy Osbourne actually put a watch in his mouth and a little light bulb went off. I said, I could also be making money doing product placements. So we started to do small little gift lounges at these various different charity events. Where it's really a quid pro quo, so meaning the celebrity would get a gift in exchange for taking a photo, which then the brand could use those photos, whether it be on their website or at the time at trade shows, or submit them to press. And now things have changed where we get into the social media aspect. Back then, there was no social media.
So has it been hard to, you know, I'm sure there are some people out there who maybe tried the gifting suite thing, but then, like you said, now social media exists, who might have become obsolete because they weren't able to keep up with the times. How have you stayed present to all of that?
Well, the social media actually makes our business even that much better, because now, for example, if someone were to do one event with us, you know, they end up getting 60, 70 photos with various different celebrities. So now they have content that they can use, not just one day. You know, we always advise to use that content over, you know, a month or 2 months or even 3 months, you know, to post, you know, three or four of those photos per day. And then they're getting a substantial amount of likes, and then obviously, you know, more followers, because they're not just posting, you know, photos of the product. They're actually posting, you know, interesting photos from our different events that they participated in.
So were there, you know, obviously you've been doing this, my gosh, since 2000, I think, is when you were founded, right? So it's been going on 20 years. Were there ever times when you were pioneering and basically creating this from nothing that you thought, oh my gosh, I'm just going to throw in the towel, it's just too much?
Giving up is never an option.
Good answer. Spoken like a true successful entrepreneur.
There were certainly challenges at times, of course. But, you know, you just, you know, you work a little harder and you find the right team. You know, I definitely could not do it alone. You know, I have a lot of great salespeople that work for me and consultants that work with me and marketing experts that help the clients after they receive their photos too, because, you know, just getting a photo from an event is not going to be worth the investment that they make from doing one of our events with us. You know, so we really need to educate the brands on what to do afterwards. And of course, we also invite a tremendous amount of press to our events. So a brand that participates in one of our events could literally generate over 200 million media impressions.
Wow. That's insane. It's crazy how far-reaching media and social media and all those things are nowadays.
It really is.
So when you were going through this whole process, did you have to, you know, you said, well, gosh, the age-old question of what is it I want to do? Did it happen organically and through kind of just trial and error you figured it out? Or when you were a little kid, for example, did you always think, oh, gosh, were you interested in marketing? And did you have a knack for that at a young age?
Well, the young age, I've always had a knack for sales. I mean, even when I was 8 years old, I had a flyer business where, you know, I would go to different businesses and ask them if I could pass out their flyers. And then I would hire kids my own age and pay them half the price to go pass out the flyers. So I've kind of been a little entrepreneur ever since I was young. But in regards to this business in particular, I never knew I'd be getting into this specifically.
So what would be your advice to anybody out there who's a trailblazer? You know, some of us, I think, are just not designed to be employees, not good or bad or right or wrong. You know, I think that certain people are better at just following guidelines and having structure. And I think other people thrive a little bit more in an ability to be creative and take ownership of whatever they're doing. So what would be your advice to somebody out there who maybe doesn't fit the mold of the traditional job of doing the 9-to-5 thing? What would you advise them to start to do or consider?
Well, definitely if you don't fit the mold 9-to-5, you are certainly an entrepreneur, because the entrepreneur works a lot more hours. you are always on call. I mean, I'm looking at emails at 11 p.m. and I'm looking at them first thing when I wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. However, Oprah said something interesting the other day. She said she doesn't even look at her phone until after she's walked around. Of course, she has a small little estate until she's walked around her estate and had her tea. Eventually I'll get to that place in life, but I still look at my son the second I wake up in the morning. It's really just a matter of never giving up and a lot of hard work. You know, it takes a lot of hard work to make things look easy. In addition to that, frankly, I always say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. because it's not just through luck. It's hard work. And, and opportunities will come your way. It's just a matter of the right timing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know that there's a great little meme out there that I think is very popular on social media right now, and it shows an iceberg, basically. And so at the top of the iceberg, it's what people see of successful people. And then you look at the bottom of the iceberg, which is 2/3 or more of the iceberg, which is below the surface, and that's all the things that people don't see. You know, when people hear, oh my gosh, Gavin, you have a gifting suite, you're hanging out with A-list celebrities, you get to go to Coachella or the Grammy or to the Oscars or these different events that you might be going to, it seems so glamorous, but they don't understand the thousands of hours that go in from you and your team to be able to put on an event like that. And it's not like magic that it just happens. There is work and effort that has to be put in.
Yes, definitely.
So what would you say have been some of the highlights of making it worthwhile to work all those long hours? What have been the things that have just made you happiest of being able to do this and have your own company for going on 20 years?
Well, I love helping others. So, when companies succeed or when the charities raise what their goal is, that always makes me the happiest. It's a matter of seeing companies and nonprofits have the ability to take their organization to the next level and accomplish all of their goals. That in itself, is what helps me sleep at night.
Yeah, and then I'm sure since you got into it on the con side, have a lot of other people gotten into the whole gifting suite game since you started 20 years ago?
A lot of people try to do what we do. And I'd say really at the risk of sounding egotistical, which they really don't want to do, they just don't do it well. They are in it for the money, more than for the end result. And so they'll just kind of do a pop-up somewhere, or, they'll let any brand in to the lounge, or they'll let anyone into the lounge, meaning any type of person. And when I say any type of person, I mean, they might let a celebrity that might have been a celebrity 10 years ago, but might not necessarily be media worthy today.
And so how do you vet? What's the whole process of how do you vet celebrities or brands that you allow in? That seems like it would be an art form all in itself.
It actually is. So we kind of have 3 different criteria when it comes to betting. And interestingly enough, Jen, you are actually the first person to ever ask me this part. So you're getting the secrets behind the scene.
Behind the scenes exclusive with Gavin.
Exactly. Should I tell you? No, I'm kidding. I will.
it's okay. We'll leave it.
No, it's all good. So it depends on what the event is. So, for example, if it's the Emmys or the Oscars, we kind of have an easy criteria, which is an automatic entry. So that automatic entry is if you're nominated or you're presenting at that award show, you automatically get accepted to our event, meaning you're automatically allowed to come and receive all the gifts that are available to you. The second criteria is, would you typically, or is it likely that you would make it into Us Weekly, In Touch, People magazine? The reason for that aspect, frankly, is we want our brands that are in attendance to get press. So we want to be able to show photos with the celebrities holding up the product and get those brands press. And our final criteria, because the times they are changing, is social media. So if one has over 1 million followers in social media, we will take a look at them. We don't just automatically accept them, but we will take a look at them and gauge what their engagement is.
Yeah.
And so because somebody has 1 million followers, they might only get 100 likes per post, or they might get 45,000 posts, or they might get 200 likes. So, or they might get, just really depends. So our criteria is for every 1 million, they have to have at least 25,000 likes. So again, if they have 10 million followers, they have to have at least 250,000 likes per post. So that's kind of our criteria, really kind of like a 10% of however many followers they have, how many likes do they get? So.
Yeah, that seems like a fair assessment, because you get that where you could have a lot of people who might have a lot of followers, but they might have been a one-hit wonder, or and people aren't behind them anymore. Or how do you feel about, and again, you can answer this or not, but politically charged, like there might be people out there who have a very strong platform that they sit on. Are your brands okay with that if somebody who might not be in line with their brand, are they still able to come to the events?
If they are pressworthy and if they fall within those categories, we do not pay attention to politics.
No press is bad. Press is bad press, specifically.
Well, no, it's not necessarily that aspect. It's just that, we won't get into which way I go. But you cannot, I firmly believe you can't judge anyone based upon that. Now, if somebody is, does things that may not be, ethical, that's different.
Yeah, that's more what I was thinking. Somebody who has a bad brand themselves. Like they might be fit. It wasn't so much, I shouldn't have said political. That wasn't what I meant. I meant more like politically correct. Like if somebody is very offensive, but sometimes you get these people out there, influencers and celebrities, who people might have a strong reaction to, or I could see perhaps a brand that was more family friendly. Would they want to be affiliated with somebody who was just trashing families or something in the news that week? So that's why I was kind of curious and how that would play into your decision making.
So two things there. One is, yes, we will not necessarily let a porn star in that has 10 million followers, just because they have 10 million followers. But that being said, just because an individual may not be good for one brand, they still might be good for another. That's the reason why we allow 70 to 80 people in the lounge. And then the brand can pick and choose who they actually want to utilize in their social media or on their website, or which photos they want to submit to the press. So they don't have to necessarily, use every single photo that they receive.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense then, because they can target, oh, this person is in line with our family brand, or this person, maybe if it was some sort of alcohol brand and it was a big alcohol package, you would want somebody who has a reputation for maybe being a partier to that extent. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example might be Snoop, would we let Snoop into one of our events? The answer is yes. He has a new game show on TV. He has a lot of social media followers. But would he necessarily be good for, a family brand? Maybe not. But he would be great for an alcohol brand. And now with CBD being legal, he'd be amazing for that. It really does depend on the brand.
So what's one of your favorite gifting suite stories of one of your favorite experiences?
One of my favorite gifting suite stories. Actually, it has nothing to do with gifts, but that's okay.
It's
is probably, there was, we've had various different celebrities, obviously, when Leonardo DiCaprio came in, and he actually spent a tremendous amount of time with the charities. So typically a celebrity spends about an hour at our gift lounge, and he spent about 3 hours because he spent an extra hour and a half just talking to the different causes that were there and really taking the time and learning about them. And, you know, doing his due diligence if he wanted to be involved with them.
That's extraordinary. It's so funny. Sometimes, you know, people have these perceptions of celebrities or different people just thinking that they're completely entitled. In some cases, I'm not saying that this is my opinion, but that they're entitled, and just why is it that people who get paid millions of dollars per film also get free stuff on top of it? But then you hear a story like that where it's somebody who is worth, who knows how much money, and yet he was more interested in the charities than, you know, the free stuff. So I think that's a great story of something good that can be done with fame and with celebrity.
True. I also do want to address just quickly the fact that so many people believe, you know, oh, why do the celebrities just get more stuff and why do the rich get richer? But in reality, an average brand would probably have to pay an average celebrity a minimum of $5,000 to come in and take one photo with their product. And so in this case, when they attend these gift lounges, the brands are getting so much more out of it than the celebrity ever could from them receiving, whether it be a watch or whether it be, you know, a hat, or whether it be a belt, or whether it be a new speaker. You know, they're not having to pay them anything to get that photo. They're just literally giving them the product.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's a win-win. I think that in life, unfortunately, we've gotten to a point in society where there are less and less win-win situations. It seems like there are a lot of businesses, and that's what you hear a lot in society is win-lose. You hear that, you know, the rich are getting rich, and why is it people have to struggle? But there are many what I call strategic alliances, because it's a win-win. It's a win for the celebrity. It's a win for the brand. And then when you bring the charitable component into it, it's a win for the charities that now are able to leverage that name or that brand or create that partnership that might not have ever been there before. I mean, who knows what might have happened with one or any of the charities that Leonardo DiCaprio may have met with, and it could have made a lasting difference, and he might contribute or still have an impact on that charity for years to come, even just despite it being a one-time event.
Exactly. No, many of the charities that are on site, they actually ask the million-dollar question to the celebrities, which is simply, will you lend us your name? So by them agreeing to lend their name and now being on their honorary committee, that helps them with their fundraising efforts.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because you see that a lot with charitable philanthropic events where it'll say Robert Redford is an honorary member. And then because of that, they're able to raise more money and get more awareness for whatever that cause is, correct?
Yeah, it just gives it credibility.
Yeah, and I think that's something important too, especially when charities are starting out or just trying to get to that next level of fundraising. And you and I both know because we've both done a lot of that. So tell me a little bit more about this influencer. I think we're in an interesting time in society where you might argue in some cases that these influencers who might have 5 or 10 million followers might be as influential, if not more so, than your typical A-list celebrity. What are your thoughts on the future of that?
It's sad. No, I'm kidding. I mean, it's very interesting because we just had our Oscar event, and, you know, we for the first time really kind of tapped into those influencers, and we allowed one person in particular in, this influencer in, and they had, you know, a million followers, and they got 45,000 likes. And then Susan Sarandon made a post and she got 3,000 likes. But it's really all about the engagement. It doesn't have to do with how big the celebrity is or how well known the celebrity is. It all has to do with the engagement one has with their followers. So another person that I know, who's an amazing person inside and out, Neil Patrick Harris. He does a lot of work with charity, and he really likes to help the small to medium-sized businesses as well. And that's really another reason why some of these celebrities actually attend these lounges, is because they want to help the small businesses, you know, grow. So he wasn't able to make it to my Oscar lounge. However, I sent him a bag, and he posted, and he got over 190,000 likes.
Wow.
So again, it really all depends on the engagement that one has with your followers and how interested they are in that individual.
Yeah, it's funny because there was somebody who I met at a party who was a friend of some of my childhood friends, and it turned out that she had aversion, or she had celiac disease and couldn't eat certain foods. And she went from, you know, being a businesswoman and traveling the world to realizing that she had to focus on her health. So she said, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and start kind of researching different recipes, and realize there was nothing out there specifically for people with this particular disease. And out of the blue, almost overnight, she started this blog, and it became, you know, where I think she has at least 1, if not 2 million followers now. And it's just, it started organically. You know, she never set out to be a celebrity or an influencer. And I think that's something too, that in some cases can give people great credibility and even more likes and interaction, is people who aren't out there trying to get something from you. I feel like whether you're a celebrity or an influencer, there's kind of like this agenda attached to it. Like, I need you to like this, or I need you to go to my movie, or whatever it is. But when you get somebody who just, even like you in your business, you're authentically caring and invested and wanting something better for people, whether it's the brands or the charities, the same is true of these influencers or celebrities. I think we as the general public can sense that. And if you get the sense that somebody authentically really just wants to share something, not from an agenda, not trying to get something from you, it makes you want to engage with them more and regularly, I would say. I don't know, it's just an idea. I'm not a marketing person.
Oh, yes, you are.
Well, I didn't set out to be a marketing person. Much like you, I had a first babysitting company when I was 10 years old, and I was sending out babysitters in the neighborhood. But I did not set out or think of myself as a marketing person. But it's just funny how organically sometimes these things just naturally grow and evolve.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
So Gavin, tell our listeners out there, are there any points that if somebody out there is, you know, they're just feeling like, God, you know what, Gavin, I just don't fit the mold. I really want to go out there and do this incredible thing, but it's daunting and I don't even know how I'm going to do it. Are there any points or anything that you would love people to walk away with or be able to apply in their own lives, you know, so that way they could have their own career, have their dream job, even if it's being an entrepreneur and not doing the 9-to-5 thing?
Well, first of all, make sure it's something that you love. Make sure that you can look at yourself in the mirror. Make sure you're proud of what you do. I would also, you know, kind of say, ask myself the question, you know, would my children be proud of what I do on an everyday basis?
Aww.
You know, even if you're not necessarily successful financially presently, you know, would, again, going back to the children thing, you know, would my children be proud of the efforts that I'm making? You know, because, you know, it'll come. It'll eventually come to you, you know, and it does sometimes take a lot of hard work. But it also takes a lot of risk. You know, being an entrepreneur is risky. And you have to know in your mind that you're able to go down that road. Because, you know, I mean, the old, you know, verbiage of, you know, anything worth having, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. or, you know, but, you know, if everyone could do it, you know, it would be, you know, it'd be easy.
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, again, it goes back to that iceberg example. It's, you're only seeing that top little 10 or 20% of what people do that makes it look easy. Oh, Gavin just shows up and gets to hang out with A-list celebrities or, you know, whoever the entrepreneur might be. And they don't realize all the effort and the work and the behind the scenes stuff that goes into it.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Well, you've given our listeners so many wonderful things to think about, and I really appreciate you. You know, that's the great thing about you, Gavin, is that, you know, you just shared one of your secrets. You said, you know what, Jen, I've never shared this before. Nobody's ever asked that. And I really love that you didn't hesitate, because I think that's one of the keys of successful entrepreneurs and anybody in business is to share. It's not about holding on to it. I know for me, when people would ask me in recruiting, oh, what about your competition? And what if they find out these tips or tricks you're teaching job seekers? And I said, great, I'll teach them a class. Let them use it. Because, you know, if somebody can go out there and do it and help other people and help more people, I'm sure you feel the same way about charities and helping other people. It's just so nice to hear that you were so willing to share that for anybody out there, you know, who might want to listen. So thank you so much for that. And do tell everybody.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And do tell everybody, you know, if there are any brands out there or, you know, that want to partner with you or charities that would love to utilize your services, can you tell people a little bit about where to find you either on social media or your websites?
Yeah, I mean, my website is GBK. G as in Gavin, B as in boy, K as in kite, or get pegging, projections.com. And or they can call the office at 323-933-9989.
Awesome. And it sounds like, so you offer services to businesses looking to grow their brands that have products or services, as well as to charities looking at how to leverage and get more exposure and connection to celebrities, et cetera, right?
Yeah. I mean, I am definitely biased to take this last sentence with a grain of salt. but if I had a business and I had a product, I would literally use my last $5,000 to do it one of these events, to be able to get 50, 60 photos with celebrities that I could utilize in social media. I could put them on my website. I could use them at trade shows. I could submit them to press. And then I would also have the opportunity to meet 30 or 40 press outlets and get over 100 million media impressions.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like good from a business standpoint, ROI, return on investment, because you look at it, so many business owners, we do spend, I know this firsthand after having had a company for 9 years, you spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in some cases, millions of dollars companies spend on advertising and trying to get in front of the right people. And so that's a small investment comparatively to what sometimes people can get in the big picture wise out there. So I think that's a great idea. So thank you so much, Gavin. It's great to have you on the show. If anybody missed any portion of today's show, you can find it immediately after the show on LA Talk Radio, Get Yourself the Job, on my page there. You can find it available in the archive section, available for download. Or later in the week, you can also find it on iTunes in the podcast section. You can find it under Get Yourself the Job. And you can subscribe and listen to at your leisure, or also interact with us on your Get Yourself the Job Facebook page as well. And we invite you to tune in next week, Monday at 4 p.m., as we interview David Guillaume. David Guillaume has been one of my personal teachers and mentors for probably the last 2 or 3 years, and has helped me see the obstacles and barriers that have blocked my own success. So I'm very excited to have David join us on the show next week and share with you some of his tips and tricks to connect to inner wisdom and to unblock yourself and make more money and be happier. So how does it get any better than that? So thanks again for joining us today, Gavin, and wishing everybody out there a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.